hear and believe the good news that through Jesus Christ, God accepts, God forgives, and God sets free. Receive the forgiving love of God. God, source of all light, by your light, we live our lives. Have mercy on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The readings today, the first reading is 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 19. 1 Peter, first letter, chapter 2 from verse 19. For it is commendable, it is a commendable thing, being aware of God, a person endures pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do good and suffer for it, this is a commendable thing before God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that having died to sins, we may live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
The Psalter is Psalm number 23. It is on page 749. Page 749. And we use response 1. God is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall lack. You, God, make me lie down in green pastures.
You lead me in thy right peaceful waters.
You revive my spirit.
You guide me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me.
Your rod and your staff are my comfort.
You spread a table before me in the sight of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, my cup is overflowing.
Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in God's house my whole life long.
The Gospel reading is Gospel of John chapter 10 from verse 1. Gospel of John chapter 10. Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he was brought out of all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep didn't listen to them. And I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Rock, O Lord, O Redeemer. Amen. That's okay. This is whenever we have the Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. It's a special Sunday. It's a special occasion, and we have this teaching of Jesus Christ coming from the Gospel of John. And we have the same Gospel when we have the Bible study, Gospel of John. And the theme is actually what we have in during the Bible studies. Is a title of a book, The Outrageous Claims of Jesus. The Outrageous Claims of Jesus. Because Jesus said a lot of things, and the kind of things only crazy people say. At the same time, he did things only God can do. And for us, the easiest way is to see Jesus as a kind of a nice guy. And that doesn't fit. The nice guy paradigm doesn't fit. You know the most important thing about nice guys? You can ignore them easily. That's the problem with the nice guys. This is why we call people nice guy. This is why we call certain individual a nice person. Doesn't give you any headache. He's not demanding. You can ignore him easily. The best nice guys are the ones you can make invisible. And Jesus is not really like that. Jesus is not really like that. And when it comes to the outrageous claims of Jesus, this is the Bible passage I read from the Gospel of John. It's probably one of the most outrageous claims. And for us, it's not that much of a blasphemy, but I think the first time when Jesus said that, it was a blasphemy to the audience, to the first audience. Because everybody knew Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You remember that? Yes, because whenever we have a funeral, we read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That one day, Jesus comes and says, I am the good shepherd. What? We thought that God is the good shepherd, not you. So who is the good shepherd? Who is the good shepherd? Is God the good shepherd? Or Jesus is the good shepherd? So please struggle with the question a little bit. And Jesus had seven I am statements. And for example, things like the I am statements are very much like the stuff crazy people say. I am the light of the world. And there is a group of things which are very cosmic, like the light of the world. And there are things he said that are very existential, like I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. Every single person has a kind of a hunger. You have a hunger to matter. You have a hunger for companionship. You have a hunger to love and accept it unconditionally. We share the same kind of hungers. And Jesus says, I know you hungers. I know you hungers. All of your hungers I know. I can be the fulfillment. I am the bread for your hunger. And everybody knows the phrase, the thirst of life, thirst for life. And Jesus says, I am the living water, which can address your thirst for life. But there is the third part, and the third kind is there's only one I am statement when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd thing is very gentle. It's neither big time cosmic, it's nor big time existential. It is gentle, it is caring, it is, most importantly, intimate. Because we don't see sheep, we don't see shepherd nowadays in our society, but in that day and age, that was something very special. That was something very special. And that very special comes from the nature of the sheep. And I don't want to say bad things about sheep. That wouldn't be nice. But there's not a whole lot of nice things we can say about sheep. Because sheep are very difficult animals. Because they basically, there are. If you have an animal, any kind of animal, if you let that animal go, the animal can do two things. It says, free at last, I can go home. When I was a kid, less than 10 years old, I was absolutely fascinated by my next door neighbor who was raising honing pigeons. And he could take the pigeon to the other corner of the country, let the bird fly, and the bird got home before he got home. So there's an animal. You let it go. It says, home. And there is the other kind of animal, which says, if you let them go, they go free. And they run away, never to return. That happened to my first Budge Gerriger, or the tiny parrot. I accidentally let him or her go and flew away happily. Probably died 2 hours later. So basically there are two kinds of animals. One type of the one who they love to go home, other type who love to go away and never to return. Sheep is actually a third kind. They neither go home nor roam free. The sheep are very, very difficult animals because they can panic easily and they can do silly things. And what is the strangest thing about sheep is that they are a danger to themselves. And on this planet, there is only one other kind of creature who is that dangerous to himself or herself. I think you guessed it. It's humanity. You know, there is a whole line of the Horace collection of lines, the famous last words. Like, what kind of wire is that? So whenever you see a red button, you feel an urge to push, and you don't know what's going to happen, but you still feel the urge to push. So the picture, the image, the whole idea behind this shepherd sheep concept is a crazy dependency of the sheep on the shepherd. this absolute dependency. And absolute dependency is a thing we never talk about, because that makes us feel uncomfortable. That makes us feel uncomfortable. Because we want to believe about ourselves as humanity that we are educated, we are enlightened, we don't need help. We don't really need God. And no wonder in the 17th century, 18th century, there was a movement, Enlightenment. And Enlightenment, that was the first statement they said, the first big idea they come up with, is that we are enlightened, we don't need God. Hooray. So, I know there are more than one ways to read this story, but you are in church. You have to stick with my reading of the story. So, as we go on and we see this Bible passage, Jesus saying, I lead my sheep. You know, you've seen country movies, cowboy movies, haven't you? The cowboys drive the cattle. In the East, the shepherds never drove the sheep. They led the sheep. The shepherd went ahead, and the sheep followed the shepherd. That was the scene. So this is the image the people who read this story for the first time, they were familiar with. And the shepherd was leading the sheep, and the shepherd cared about the sheep, and the shepherd was not leading the sheep anywhere dangerous. Whenever there was danger, it was always the sheep doing that for themselves. And that is for us too. It's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. But you are in church. You have to endure a little bit of a discomfort. But where does Jesus leading us? It's a big question. Which is the situation Jesus wants to lead us out of? And the first thing I thought was, which is just mildly uncomfortable, is to lead us out of our comfort zones. Lead us out of our comfort zones. Because Jesus is challenging. Jesus as a person in your life can be challenging. And if Jesus is real for you, the presence is very challenging. For example, Jesus wants to lead you out of your comfort zone. And it's an interesting thing, and it's not an idea without any danger, because for a lot of people say that this is who I am. My comfort zone is who I am. And forcing me to leave my comfort zone, you try to force me to leave my comfort zone, is like trying to change me. And that's a no-go. That's a no-go. But it's very interesting to see the differences. What is the comfort zone to who and how they live out their identity as I am in the middle of my comfort zone. For example, I know people, I actually met people who never say thank you after a meal to their wives. And when you ask them, why don't you ever say thank you to your wife after a wonderful meal? And the answer was, for me to say thank you is out of my comfort zone. I can't be that vulnerable. That is the, in a sense, the answer. And for some people, it's understandable. For wives, it's usually not understandable. You work in the kitchen hours and hours and hours, and that son of a gun, so-and-so, is not even willing to say thank you. But that can be the next thing. Next thing, leaving you out of your comfort zone. Jesus is leading us out of our comfort zone, like making us say sorry. For a lot of people, saying sorry, it's okay. But there are other people who never say sorry. Why? Because that would make them feel vulnerable. And that's totally unacceptable. I'm not going to do that. Even if the Lord Jesus himself wants me to say so. No, never. So Jesus, so what is your comfort? I mean, a lot of times, the comfort zones make sense and logical. But sometimes they can be destructive to people living around us. And of course, in the church, we have the same thing. We have the same problems. There was another congregation in a different province, not here in New Brunswick or in the Miramichi. I try to shake up the spiritual life of a congregation as a newcomer. And that was a retirement home. In the building, everybody was a retired person. They were living independently. And I told them, guys, I mean, they were usually gals, but I said to them, let's do a prayer group meeting, whatever. And they were nodding very sheepishly. Then somebody told me later, the chair of the board, no, we are not coming. He says, what's the problem with the Bible? I mean, what's the problem with the prayer group? Is the level of vulnerability is way beyond our comfort zone. You cannot expect us to be that naked spiritually in front of each other. We never do that. Okay? A new lesson. But I guess for some of you, because every single time we have a Bible study, I say to people, come to Bible study once. You don't have to come back the second time. Try it once. If you never come back, it's okay. Just try it once. How many people can I have a raise of hands who hasn't tried Bible study once? It was a joke. But they also lost. So, I think the simplest of the conflicts in this Bible passage can be boiled down to a question. Who do you think has the best interest of you at heart? Because you have a conviction, and I did have a conviction, that what's best for me is known by me. I am the best person to represent my interest. I'm the best advocate of myself. I know what's best for me and no one else. And the first challenge in my life as a Christian, when God stepped into my life and said, no, you don't see the future, but I do. Could you trust me with your future? And it took me some time to come to God with a prayer to say, yeah, God, I accept that. You know my future. You can see my future. You are in control of my future. And later, not years, but decades later, that decision gave me peace. That I don't have to do anything for my future because I have put it into God's hand. And I don't have to make anything happen. I don't have to build my future. I don't have to control my future. My future is in the hands of God. So Jesus says, I want to lead you. And as disciples, your job is to follow me. But we want to follow our own path. We want to follow our own common sense. And when we had the Bible study, I told the people there that the common sense is the thing we want to follow, all of us, right? I'm not going to ask a show of hands, but you know, and it was very interesting for me. It was a very transformative moment. When during COVID-19, you remember that? Good. During COVID, somebody came to me and asked, Will you receive the shot? And I said, of course. And he said, why? And I said, common sense. And what about you? Are you going to have the shot? No, never, never. He says, why? Common sense. So whatever is common sense for you is not necessarily a common sense for anyone else. So the common sense as our guiding star, common sense as a Jesus replacement, common sense as our good shepherd to follow, is not really working. So boiling down to the question, who do you trust? Is the crucial issue. And this is a challenge. How big is your God? Can you trust your God? Because God, our Lord God, the real one, can be trusted. Maybe you find yourself in a situation every day when God is asking you through that situation, through those challenges in the day, God is asking you, do you trust me? Maybe. But God can be trusted. If there is something you take home, let it be this one. God can be trusted. I said all this to you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.